Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints, because of the hope that you have laid up in heaven. You have heard of this hope before the word of the truth, the gospel, that has come to you. And just as the gospel is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. All this you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he is the one who has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I'm no gardener. I know some of you out there are, so I don't claim to have any special knowledge about this, just a highly active imagination. So, wouldn't it be great if there were some special, magical little seed that once you planted it and watered it, this little seed would grow vigorously and cover the whole ground with beautiful flowers? And wouldn't it be great if after a week or so of this watering and growing, any straggly little shrubs that you had in your yard would be replaced with this plant's beautiful, beautiful flowers? And wouldn't it be great if all those scraggly little weeds that you can never seem to get rid of, wouldn't it be great if those were uprooted and replaced by sweet, ripe fruit that would grow under these beautiful, luscious flowers? Imagine if these special little seeds would grow even in the rockiest of soil and with just the littlest bit of water. Imagine if these seeds didn't cost a single red cent, so that everyone could have a beautiful garden and a beautiful yard full of flowers and fruit. Just think how those beautiful special seeds could completely transform a landscape, bringing life and energy and fruitfulness to an empty lot or a long neglected yard. Creating beauty and life, this special seed would be able to take root wherever the gardener chose to plant it. Just imagine. Imagine the wide-ranging, life-changing transformation that could happen not just in your own backyard, but across the whole world through the power of this one special little seed. Imagine the transformation. This is exactly how God transformed the people of Colossae when he planted the gospel there. An empty lot, a neglected yard, was transformed into this metaphorical meadow of flowers and fruit. The good news of Jesus Christ rooted out the weeds and the sins in the Colossians' heart and replaced them with the sweet, sweet fruit of love. You see, God planted the seeds of good news in the Colossians' hearts through Epaphras, who was their pastor. And it was the Spirit who watered the seeds. And now, wherever the Colossians go, apparently according to what we read in the book, they bear fruit in their good works. So deep was their spiritual transformation that Paul writes to them, and he says, "In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard all those miles away." Paul is in prison, 100 miles away, but he has heard of their faith in Christ Jesus and all of the love that they have for all the saints. You see, Paul has heard it through the grapevine. He's heard about their love, their joyful love for all the saints. And now this beautiful, sweet fruit of the Spirit is growing among them. Now we know from reading in the book of Galatians, where the fruit of the Spirit is mentioned, we read, "For freedom Christ has set us free." Christ has set the Colossians free so that they might not live a life of self-indulgence, but rather to live a life of loving service to others. In Christ, they are living out the law of love monthly and daily and even hourly. And their good works in turn are planting more seeds of good news wherever they go, wherever their feet may take them. Sounds pretty good, right? But it makes me wonder, what exactly were those Colossians doing so well that made Paul, 100 miles away in Ephesus in prison, what were they doing so well that made him write them a letter? What were they doing that it made Paul write them a letter that says he always gives thanks for them? People he's never met, he always gives thanks for them in his prayers. What were they doing? How can we get in on that? Because we want to be transformed like that, right? We want to live a life of meaning like they were. We want to live a life that has meaning and significance. And we want to make a difference in the life of others, right? We want to matter. And we want what we do each day to matter. We want the way that we live together and love together and serve together as the body of Christ gathered here at Second Presbyterian Church, we want it to matter. So what was their secret? What was the secret of their transformation? If love is the result, if love is the fruit that is grown in their good works, how do they make it grow? And how can we get in on that? Well, I pondered that, and I pondered it, and I pondered it, and I came up with an answer. How did they do it? It's simple. They didn't. God did it. God did it for them. God did it all for them. God planted the seed. God watered the seed. And God made the seed to grow. God planted the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ among them, and God watered and tilled and tended the soil of their hearts until the seeds of the gospel took root in their hearts. And once that seed had roots, God made the fruit of the Spirit grow, demonstrated in their incredible love. So what did the Colossians do in all this? They just tried not to fall off the vine. They just tried to hang on for dear life. God did it all for them. They were just along for the ride. You see, fruit, when fruit grows, fruit is the evidence that a plant or a tree or a vine has been rooted and established, fed and nurtured, watered and staked and pruned until it's ready to reproduce. Their lives, the Colossians' lives, were fruitful and joyful and loving and significant because they were connected to Jesus, who is the true vine. And the stronger the connection, the sweeter the fruit, and the more significant the life. So Paul's continual prayer for them is that they would hang on for dear life to the vine, being filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, as it says in verse 10. Because this is how to live a life that is fully pleasing to Him. This is how to live a life that is significant, that makes a difference in this world, knowing God and loving God and hanging on to the vine for dear life. God will grow the fruit. We just need to stay connected to the vine. It's the craziest thing, really, because you see, God doesn't really need us. God doesn't really need us to do His work in our world. God is perfectly capable of doing all that needs to be done in this world on His own. No problem. But He chooses to use us. He chooses to use us to share the fruit of love and joy with others. And all we have to do to be a part of God's transformation of our world is to be in and stay in relationship with God. To hang on to the vine for dear life by worshiping together and praying together and studying together and serving together, joyfully working out our salvation in fear and trembling, as Philippians says, knowing God and loving God. When we're all able to do that as individuals and as a church, the fruit of the Spirit grows quietly but surely among us. Not because of anything that we did, but because it is God who will make the fruit grow. So, in case you haven't picked up on it yet, we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit for the rest of the summer. And at first, that might seem like a pretty vanilla, boring kind of thing to talk about in the midst of the summertime. Because, I mean, when you think about the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy, peace and patience and generosity and faithfulness and kindness and self-control, it sounds suspiciously like maybe I'm just going to tell you to be nice. Just going to tell you to be nice for the next 8 weeks. Yuck. That would get old really fast. And you know I like to liven things up a little bit. So people of God, the fruit of the Spirit is about so much more than just being nice. Which is why I'm calling this sermon series Naked Fruit. Because I want to peel back our superficial understandings that the fruit of the Spirit is all just about being nice to each other. I want to get to the heart of what it's all about, what's real and what's naked and what's the God's honest truth about the fruit of the Spirit. If you go back and look at Galatians 5, the first things that gets mentioned in that list is love, which you've heard the Colossians are so commended for. Paul writes, "For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints." That's a curious little phrase, isn't it? All the saints. In the New Testament, the Greek word for saints is hagios, which refers to Christians consecrated to God through Jesus Christ. Now, there's really no way for us to know who's a saint and who's not. There's no way to know who's chosen and who isn't, who's in and who's out, because that's not our call. That's up to God. So it would seem, if we don't quite know who's in or who's out, who's a saint and who's not, seems like the wise thing to do would be to treat everyone as though they are a saint. And to be like the Colossians, who joyfully love all the saints. So here's what's real and naked and truthful about love and loving all the saints. He really means love all the saints, the unlovable saints, the unforgiving saints, the misbehaving saints, the provocative saints, and the protesting saints, and the lost saints, and the angry saints, and the hurting saints, and the frustrating saints. And the saints you consider to be an enemy, and the saints who consider you their enemy. Love the saints. Love all the saints. The naked truth about love is that you don't get to pick. You don't get to pick who to love and who not to love. Because when the gospel, when the seeds of the gospel has taken root in your heart and the fruit of the Spirit is growing in you, you've got to love all the saints. And if you're not at least trying to do that, well, you might want to check your connection to the vine, because I think something is broken. So the theology buffs among us will recognize what I'm talking about as the big fancy word, sanctification, which is the process or result of God's continuing work in Christian believers through the power of the Holy Spirit, which occurs after justification. And it's growth in grace and holiness in life marked by good works. So if you like those big fancy words, then we can talk about those later on. But for the rest of us who maybe like things in a little bit more simpler terms, let's just think of these next 8 weeks as talking about our transformation. How God has planted the seeds of good news in our hearts and is now quietly but surely growing the fruit in our lives, weeding out sin, and replacing that with sweet, sweet fruit. Love the saints. Love all the saints. As I've watched the news for the last couple of weeks, I think it's pretty clear we need some love in this world. A little more love. And I haven't quite figured out exactly how to love all the saints in Bangladesh or Baghdad or Baton Rouge or St. Paul or Dallas. But I think we can do it here in Portsmouth. I think we can love all the saints here. And it all begins in our own backyards. Before we try to do anything for anybody else, before we try to help anyone else, we need to make sure first that we are connected to the vine, that we are hanging on to Jesus, the true vine, for dear life through our own worship and study, so that we might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Because I think that's the key. I think that's the key to how to live a life of significance and a life that matters, a life of fruitfulness. It happens by staying connected to the vine and loving the saints, all the saints. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.